News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, determined to give you everything it takes to be a well-informed voter, a well-informed local activist, a well-informed conservative. How about that? Copper, you had a, before I go to Casey Wardinsky, you had a caller a minute ago who said something about Mo Brooks's interview just a minute ago?
Yeah, he said that Mo Brooks probably shouldn't complain about Shelby so much since he's responsible for much of the growth in Madison County.
I would dare say there was a whole lot more people that bear some large parts of that responsibility, not the least of which is local leadership, congressmen, mayors, average citizens who work, the military that moved here. But I mean, I think what he was saying was he differs in politics with Richard Shelby. So you can't say that Shelby is responsible. Shelby bears some responsibility, certainly, but you can also take issue with his more, you know, mainstream establishment politics if you want to. And I think that's what Mo was doing. But okay, all right, fine. So the caller didn't say his name. He just said, make sure you say this. Okay.
Got it. Yes.
Okay. Hey, well, listen, I hate to keep him on the line. Let me jump over then real quick. So in the runoff for Congressional District 5 right now, Dale Strong was on just a few minutes ago, and then I got a call from the Wardinsky campaign asking if they could have, you know, one more opportunity, and I said, well, you know what, why not? So here we are, 4:35 p.m. Casey Wardinsky is, of course, a retired Army colonel. After a long career in the military, he also served as the superintendent for the city schools in Huntsville, and then went on to become the assistant secretary of the Army for Manpower and Reserve Affairs in the Trump administration. And he is now running in the runoff, which is tomorrow for Congressional District 5. Casey Wardinsky, how are you doing today?
Hi, Phil. Good, thanks.
Good. Hey, thanks for the last-minute opportunity. So, listen, tomorrow's the day. I mean, you guys have been running strong, debates and everything, and tomorrow's the day they finally count the ballots and you guys get to breathe and maybe take you, put your feet up.
Well, yeah, it'll be in the hands of the voters tomorrow. Pretty pivotal election this cycle. We can see what Rhino's doing in D.C. And I was just reading about Senator Cornyn from Texas. He's lead man for Mitch McConnell to go ahead and about ceding a little bit more of the Second Amendment to the leftists, and that's exactly why I'm running. I'm tired of that stuff. I'm tired of these weak Republicans who constantly back up, constantly give our rights away, and they're not theirs to give away. It's pretty clear they came from the Creator, and they're ours, and the notion that our government has something to say about it is directly opposite the founding of this country.
Well, I totally agree, and you know, you've got an eclectic resume, of course, with your time as a leader in education, a leader in the military, and then, of course, your time in the Pentagon as a civilian overseer, if you will, of the military. You've seen policies that liberals try to put in place every which way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could see it last fall in the National Defense Authorization Act. They tried to cram red flag laws into that. They tried to create two new protected classes of individuals, gender identity, and sexual preference. They tried to have military bases begin collecting data on their local cities and urban settings. I imagine that's for Department of Justice to come back and launch lawsuits or something like that on housing or policing or schools. You know, we don't need it. The Defense Act ought to be focused on authorizing things related to defense. And one of those things they ought to be authorizing pretty quick is to bring Space Command here. That's going to be a tough fight. Colorado is not going to want to lose that, but it belongs here. This is the home of space. And quite frankly, if the Air Force was ever going to do anything with space, they should have done it long ago. And Trump finally created Space Force to get it out of the Air Force. It's still under Department of the Air Force, but not the service of the Air Force. And we need to strengthen that because, quite frankly, we're in a lot of trouble in space. We will not be able to fight effectively on the far side of the world. We get organized for space through Space Force and Space Command. And so those would be early things I'm very interested in taking care of and getting them here to Huntsville. So Huntsville can once again do what it does best for our country, spur defense and spur activity in space.
Well, and I tell you, I noticed the other day when I was reading it, and this is just a total aside, maybe I'm chasing a rabbit trail here, but with regards to Space Force, that their cadets have to go to the Air Force Academy. And I think a huge thing would be eventually to have a separate, and of course you're a graduate of the U.S. Military Academy yourself, and being an academy grad, you know what that means. But I would love to see Space Force have its own academy and maybe even headquarter it here in Huntsville. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing?
Yeah. Well, I authored a white paper on that thing, many months ago. It's easy to see that Space Force needs its own culture and identity. Right now, they're getting 100 graduates of the Air Force Academy every year to go into Space Force. And then they got the whatever the other services wanted to give up from their folks with space expertise. That's no way to build great capability in space. The Air Force ought to know that. When they broke away from the Army in 47, the first thing they wanted was an academy. And they got it in Colorado Springs. And that's what we need for Space Force here in Huntsville, something probably modeled along the lines of Merchant Marine Academy. That scale, probably about 30 men a year, and probably about 120, 150 cadets a year, and focused on commerce and space, since that's what space is all about.
Okay, well, that feels like a total setup. I had no idea you'd written a white paper on that, so that was a total aside that wound up just falling into your lap, so there you go.
Well, great minds think alike.
Okay, as you butter up the talk show host, let me ask you this, Casey. I'm switching gears now. Dale Strong was on a little while ago, and I made mention of the fact that in so many races, statewide races and otherwise, there has been a refusal on the part of the candidates to get on the stage together, whether it be in a forum or, for that matter, at least in, or most in a debate. And you and Dale Strong were actually both willing to get on stage together in a televised debate, which is too often unusual in today's politics. And I wonder what went through your mind that caused you to agree to that. Why did you think that was important? And are you glad you did it?
The same thing. WHNT had asked for a debate during the primary, and we said that we thought that was a good idea. Dale didn't think it was a good idea, so he didn't do it. And I think there were about 5 forums. I went to all 5. He went to 2, just the 2 here in Madison. And so we were happy to see him go ahead and do the debate. We think voters had an opportunity to see a pretty good contrast there and learn a lot about the candidates and why one of them ought to go to Washington. So I think debates are a good thing. I'm happy it happened Tuesday, thanks to, I think, the senatorial debate. One of them was not interested in doing it, so ours got moved up to Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. And in fact, I'm pretty sure it was Katie Britt who declined to do a debate. But I think it's important. I think even if it doesn't move the needle, which you never know whether it moves the needle or not. And there have been debates that have moved the needle, oftentimes because of key sound bites or gaffes or something like that. But I think it's also important though to show that a candidate who is willing to run for a big office is willing to also go to hard places and do hard things. And so I applaud both you and Dale Strong for doing that last week. I think that was an important piece of the campaign season, and I just wish that it had been done in more campaigns and not just in your own.
Well, these are big choices. It's nice when the voters have a lot of insight in order to make choices that are going to affect our country in important ways. So I agree with you. I thought WHNT did a great job with the debate. I thought all their questions were good questions. They were pointed questions, but that's what voters need, not a lot of sort of wishy-washy stuff like you typically get with politics.
Well, so we got a little over 24 hours, and here in the last couple of minutes, are there any particular points you feel like you need to get out there? I mean, you got this opportunity now here on Right Side Radio. What do you wish the voters who might still be undecided to know about you as we go into tomorrow?
Well, I think if they haven't seen the debate, they ought to go on YouTube and find it. It's pretty easy to find. It's broken up nicely so they can watch it. I think this is an election which really calls for a change of direction of our country. And it's a change, perhaps, that would take us in a different course than we set out on 50 years ago when the Democrats began growing all these federal agencies and growing the federal deficit and growing the federal budget and federal intrusion into the province of states. I am about change, and change is not easy. But that's what I've done my entire life as superintendent and assistant secretary of the Army and my role advising senior leaders when I was the Army's chief economist. And we need change because the course we're on is not sustainable. It leads to ruin. It leads to the end of prosperity and the end of liberty. And that's unacceptable. And so I believe I'm the change agent with a grit the knowledge and the experience from 40 years of work in the federal government and education and healthcare and leading technology businesses to make the kind of change that will benefit Northern Alabama and the United States of America.
Well, Casey, you run a good race, and I want to say, you know, on behalf of the listeners at Right Side Radio, you are one of those who has made yourself available every time we asked, and so thank you for spending your time with us today. Tell folks where they can find out more about you, just in case they still happen to be undecided.
Sure, Phil. Friendsofkc.com is the website. I recommend they go there.
All right, good enough. Casey Wardinski, tomorrow's the day. Thanks for your time, and best of luck to you.
Thank you, Phil. Bye.
All right. All right, Copper, move us to the last break of the day. We will go ahead and do that. Come back and wrap it up. I mean, wow, this has been like going to a candidates forum. They've been lined up. But that is very cool, and I'll tell you what, that is because, folks, candidates recognize an audience who listens, and for that matter, a big audience. And so you guys, the whole reason why this happened was not because I've got a microphone, it's because I've got a bunch of good listeners. So thank you for that. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. A little bit more to come. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.